Yummy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you how that happened. So, long story short, we had a piano that we had a family ask about. Then we had that piano that another family asked about. And then we had a piano that was offered to us by a third family. And so we decided we'd get both families this piano, and they'd have them in their homes because we weren't using them. And then we tried to work out getting guys because pianos are heavy. And then it was raining. And then so God in His infinite wisdom decided that there would be a little old lady who wanted the other piano, and she picked it up a day before we did. And so we were two families in one piano. But because we have such a yummy church, we were getting ready to take the piano to family A, and they said, no, God's told us, we're in agreement, it goes to family B. So we dropped off the piano at family B yesterday, and within 30 minutes to an hour, I get a video of Liberace playing their piano in their home. And so Liberace, who goes by the name Keith, so people don't ask for autographs, decided to play for us this morning, giving his offering back to the Lord for being blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And speaking of giving back, let's talk this morning about commandment number 8. We have been walking through the 10 commandments. It has been a wonderful, difficult, and rough journey on the little preacher guy, talking about all this stuff. And it's hard. They're not just rules. They're life. And there's reasons. And the biggest thing that we're pulling from all this is what I'm about to say right now. Here it is. They are rules. They are commands. But that is not all that they are. They are way more what I'm getting ready to say. Ideals that bring us closer to God. Because of who God is, these commandments exist. They're not regulations spit out by a committee. They are authoritative lessons from the heart of, and literally the person of, God. Okay? Not because He says, but because He is something the people in NBC have heard over and over again. We don't worship a triune God because God tells us to, but because He is a triune God. We are not a body of one and a community of believers because God tells us to be, but because He is Himself a community of one. That is why they use the word Ahad to describe Him in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord is Ahad, a community, a three in one. Okay? All of these things come from Him. Alright? We do not steal, not because you get arrested. We do not steal because Jesus says, everything is mine. See, God doesn't choose not to steal. I'm about to blow some of your minds here. Listen to me. God does not choose not to steal. God cannot steal. Now, this is going to rub into some of you because you're like, well, God can do whatever He wants. No, that is a misnomer. That is a falsity in church. Let me prove it. God cannot steal. Here we go. What is stealing? Taking something that
belongs.
What belongs to God?
Everything.
He can't steal. If He takes it back, it's His to begin with. We will get to the same thing coming up in bearing false witness or lying. They're very different things, but we'll get there. But that's not this week. When we hear the words, thou shalt not steal, when we want to become more like God, we go back to the opposite of stealing, and that is giving. There is a story in the New Testament that everybody knows that I've used many, many times. It is the story of the Good Samaritan. We're all familiar with it. There's a guy who's going down the road, and he falls into the hands of robbers. That's what the Bible says. These guys jump out from behind a rock on a very curvy road between Jerusalem and Jericho, and they beat him to a pulp, okay? They leave him half dead, is the word there. Now, we're not getting deep into that. We're getting into something else. These guys beat him, they take his clothes, they take everything that he has. Then, we have a priest and a Levite. Today, that would be a pastor and a deacon that come by, and they don't help him. They cross by on the other side. They pray for him. La, 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 okay? And then, a good Samaritan. He's a Samaritan, because today, that would be like saying a Muslim. That would be like saying a member of ISIS. That would be like saying somebody who is the worst enemy that you can imagine. The Samaritans and the Jews were totally opposite. They hated one another. So Jesus, in telling the story, uses the enemy, all right, as the example. That really bugged the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. That bugged the Pharisees. That bugged the religious folks. But what this guy did was he picked him up. Now I want to help people. I do. But if I'm walking down a country road without a lot of people on it, and there's a half-naked, half-bloody dude on the side of the road, I'm not sure I'm going to touch this fellow. I'm just saying. Picking up a beat-down, bloody-naked brother, I don't know. It weirds me out a little bit. I hope that I would, but y'all just need to get the situation, all right? So this guy picks him up, puts him on his donkey, takes him to the Holiday Inn, pays for his room. Pays for his room, pays for his towels, pays for his bathrobe, pays for anything he takes with him. Pays for the month. If he stays for a month, he says, I'll come back and pay you. Here's the deal. There are three types of guys in the story, all right? Listen to how they're described. The robbers, they take. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. It's a mentality that you have. The Pharisees, as long as I don't hurt you, it's not my fault. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. And the Good Samaritan is, what's mine is yours, and I give it to you freely. Three types of how you look at things, how you look at items. I'd like to introduce a new one this morning, later in the message. But you need to start thinking about what type of person you are. Here's why. When it comes to thou shalt not steal, most of us in the room would go, not us. We know we're not supposed to do it, and we don't do it. Okay? We don't go into a store and, you know, boost a CD player. We don't go out there and boost a car. That's what it's called, going in 60 seconds, all right? We don't go and come up with some Ocean's 11 heist to get all this money. We don't do this elaborate plan. Most of us would go, we know that we're not supposed to steal. You don't go into a store, you don't go into somebody's house and take something. But I would venture to guess that of all of the commandments that we're going to go through, this is the one that most people in the room break most. I'm going to go out on a limb. It is my opinion that this is probably the most broken commandment by most of us in this room. Okay? Now we got to explain that. Does stealing pervade our culture? I don't know. You have locks on your doors? On your house? All of you have locks? Security systems, anybody? Why? To keep people from stealing. Any of you bosses? Any of you employees? You're paid to give of your time, you're paid to do work. Do you work the whole time? You ever go to work and get on the internet? Look at Facebook? Some of you are looking at me like, where's he going? Figure it out. If somebody is paying you to do work, and you are not doing work, you still expect them to pay you, don't you? Let's talk about the government.
Yes.
I'm not talking. Look, you know what Mama always said? If you got one finger pointed at somebody, you got three pointed back at yourself. Well, y'all need to hush for a minute. I'm not here to judge the government or not judge the government. But I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for the guys who gave their life in this country, amen. I'm thankful for Memorial Day that we remember them, amen. I'm thankful that I live here not in Iraq, amen. I'm thankful that I live here not in a third world country, amen. And shut up. Really, shut up. I got problems with the government too, but I'm glad I live here. I'm glad I have the freedom to do what I have the freedom to do, to worship, to get to a hospital, to get to a doctor, to have school education. I'm glad. Less. What do you mean by that, Craig? Well, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to divulge. Because why not use me as the example?
as a member of the ministry, as somebody is ordained, I get some tax cuts. I do. It is the law that I get some tax. I can be paid an allowance for my housing that is not taxable by the government. That's a nice perk, okay? It is. I don't hide it. The government says that I can do it. In case you guys are wondering where that old law came from, why they still do it today, it came from when evangelists were traveling, all right? And instead of being paid, they could be put up in a location. So their housing was paid for by the people that they were serving, all right? Well, because it was for housing, they weren't making money. The government decided in its separation of the church and state to help the church by helping their ministers. And that has never changed, okay? But I can also, you ready for this? Legally take taxes on my mortgage. Okay, so I put in my mortgage payment just like you, and I get money back as if I paid it out. Okay? So it's almost like double dipping. But it's 100% legal. There's nothing wrong there. But here's what people do, and not me. This is one I don't have a problem with. Everything that you can prove that deals with your house, the government says you can take as a housing allowance. They say you can. So people go with their chihuahua and they write guard dog. And then they put all the food for their guard dog. And shots for their guard dog. And then they put their toilet paper and their paper towels to clean their house. And their security system and the internet service for them. Cheating. Stealing. Wrong. I don't care if it's justifiable. It's wrong. Not doing is as much as doing in this situation. Okay? Listen. Anybody in this room, I do not want to offend. I know some of your situations. I am not calling anybody out. I'm not calling anybody a sinner, just like I didn't if you had an abortion, just like I didn't if you killed somebody, just like I didn't if you did not put God first, if you've broken the first commandment through the eighth. I have no judgment here. But does anybody in this room have a credit card? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just wondering if you do. You owe somebody something? Have you paid it? What happens if you can't pay it? That's why that little piece of paper that you never read says, I signed one this morning. I agree to the terms and conditions of this, to the cardholder, blah, 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 blah. Anybody got in a place they couldn't handle? Called some kind of company that had the debt cut down or even had the government via bankruptcy cut it out completely? Did they get paid for something that you took? Oh, ain't nobody laughing or amen in that. See, financial crises aren't crises because we can't deal with money. They're crises because in the end we're stealing. We are moving further and further away from who God is instead of toward who God is. In our materialism, we are more about taking than we are about giving. And speaking of giving, do you tithe? Our records, by the numbers, show that about 50% of our church tithes. And I say tithe loosely. Can I tell you a story? I read this. This is good. Our goal is giving. We're called to take care of those people in our church in Acts where all of the money went in and then people took as they needed. Now that's hard. Then we didn't hear all the stories then, but I'm sure it was difficult, all right? Because what if somebody's got their hand in a lot more times than others? How do you deal with that? What if they want this and need this and need this? How do you deal with all that? That's difficult. It's even more difficult today, trust me. Trust me, it's very difficult when family, friends, people have needs, and you have to meet those needs. And some people have needs multiple times, and other people don't ever have needs. Some people are giving a lot, some people are giving a little. Guess what? My giving of a lot, my giving of a little, you're giving of a lot, you're giving of a little, you're giving of a lot, you're giving of a little, it doesn't matter. We're all here. All of us are here.
All right? We're all members of the church with equal value and equal worth. But we're not giving as such. I've said all along, I don't care what you give. I care that you give. I've never said you have to give so much to get in the good graces of the good Lord. I just don't say that. Okay? Now, some people ask me, well, doesn't the Bible outline it for you? It does and it doesn't. Here's what it does. It sets a standard if your relationship with God is not good enough for you to ask Him. You ought to be able to look God in the eyes as a loving Father and go, how much do you want from what you've given me? And you ought to be able to hear His response and you ought to answer accordingly. That would be perfect giving. But Craig, I don't know. I'm a new Christian. I don't have that kind of relationship. Then you start with 10. 10 is not your goal. 10 is your starting point. Okay? Why? So that out of everything that is given, everyone can be taken care of. If all churches, members, tithe, and then all churches also, because this is a big thing in Nicholasville Baptist, all churches also tithe, then the Salvation Army would never have an empty shelf. Then the commission across the street who pays people's electric bill would never run out of money. Then nobody would have any needs anywhere. It's not happening. Because somewhere along the way, guess what somebody's doing? Stealing. But God said it out that way. I'm going to give to you so that you can give to everyone else. Let me explain. If we go to the ball field, Chris and I had a conversation about the ball field today. Every ball field's got a bunch of fields, and in the center of them all is a concession stand. And it seems to be the kids' favorite place. So if I'm sitting in the stands, okay, and my daughter Tyler, all right, I hand Tyler $20. I hand Tyler $20. And I say to her, here you go. It's yours, and I don't give any stipulations other than this. Taysom, all right, and Grayson's there playing with him. And your Jamie and Britt, they both would like a drink. So out of that money, I need you to make sure that you get what you want, and that she gets what she wants, he gets what he wants, and that the moms both get a beverage. And she goes to the concession stand and she says, I would like a Reese cup, I would like a Coke, and I would like some popcorn. She pays for that and puts $13 back in her pocket and walks away. What has she done? The father has laid out instructions. The child has... Does that bother any of you that she would do that? Sure it does. Ought to bother you a lot, because most of us are doing it too. Well, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. God has said, out of everything that I've given you, make sure that your neighbor is cared for. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in order to do that, I have given you a church family and given them authority over all of the funds that come in so that they might take care of the lost. If we're not giving at least what God asks of us and we don't know what that is, we start with 10, then we are also... You call it whatever you want to. I'm saying you're doing what Tyler did. Fair enough? I know that this is not fun. I know that you've got bills. I know that you've got mortgages. I know that there are other things. But here is the problem. Remember when I said it all folds forward from number 1 all the way through number 10? You can't do number 8 because you had a problem with number 3. A problem with number 2. There are things more important to you than God. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a mortgage. Maybe it's a computer. Maybe it's a phone. Maybe it's an iPod. Maybe it's an iPad. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's a bike. Maybe it's a sport. But you're in over your head because there are things more important than God. Real financial stability doesn't just come from learning how to budget. It comes from not biting off more than you can chew. My favorite pastor, Matt Chandler, says it this way. He says, if you are spending what you have, you're in sin. If you're spending more than what you have, you're in sin. If you're spending less than what you have, then you're probably doing it right. If your outgoing expenses are more than your incoming expenses, you're doing it wrong. But Craig, my kids. But Craig, my... No. 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 To some he gave 5. To some he gave 2. To some he gave 1. And at the end, he required of them not any more or any less. But that they be a fact. The end. The guy with 10 didn't get any greater blessings than the guy with 2. But the one with 1 who gave nothing back was punished. The others got all that God had to offer. And that is what is waiting for you and for me too. If we do not... jump off the evident train for a moment and jump on to something else. When we define stealing, it is something that you take that belongs to someone else, that they have not given you the right or the permission to take. Have you ever stolen hope? Have you ever stolen self-worth? There's a song that it's been a long time. I hope I get all the words of this song right. It's been a long time since I've done it. But God's laying this on my heart. And I used to listen to by a guy named Ed Kilburn. I did one in here, quoted a song from him recently. I used to listen to him all the time. This is a tough one. It goes like this. And he's been in Nicholasville several times. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to kind of tell it. It goes like this. Most everyone I knew put the whole Gray family down. They were the poorest family in my little Kansas town. Howard always looked too big for his funny ragged clothes. The kids all laughed at him. Jimmy Jones would thumb his nose. Howard sat across from me in seventh grade at school. I didn't like it much, but Mama taught the golden rule. So when the spitballs flew at him, I never would join in. I guess that was the reason Howard thought I was his friend. And after things were quiet down, I turned so I could see the grateful eyes of Howard Gray looking back at me. Howard Gray, oh, 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 Howard Gray. Somehow they got their kicks out of treating you that way. Deep down I kind of liked you, but I was too afraid to be a friend to you, Howard Gray. One day after lunch I went to wash up and I saw a bunch of guys had Howard pinned against the bathroom wall. And they were making jokes about the holes in Howard's shirt. They had his left arm twisted up behind him till it hurt. To this day, I can't explain and I won't try to guess how it was I wound up laughing harder than the rest. I laughed until I cried, but through my tears then I could see tear-filled eyes of Howard Gray, and they were looking right at me. Howard Gray, oh, 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 Howard Gray, never quite forgiven us treating you that way. I wanted to apologize, but I was too afraid to be a friend to you, Howard Gray. From that moment on, after I made fun of him, he never looked my way, he never smiled at me again. Not much longer after that, his family moved away, and that's the last that I ever saw or heard of Howard Gray. That was 20 years ago, and still I haven't found why we kick a brother or a sister when they're down. I hope that maybe somehow you might hear the song someday. Know that I'm sorry, Howard Gray. We'll probably never meet again. All I can do is pray that you and God forgive us, Howard Gray. Every day, in every school.
Amen.
A little less fortunate. fat, a little shorter. You and me have been victims. And I can still tell you their names.
Some of you are like, me too.
I know the names of the boys who proved that a middle schooler could fit in a locker. I'm okay. But you think that made my self-esteem any good? You think that made my self-worth good? You think that made the locker room the place I wanted to be? Or the school the place I wanted to be? Was that theirs to take? Thou shalt not say. How about relationships? How about that temptation you get when you find that girl, find that guy, and all those hormones, they're raging. And there's things that you want to do that you know you're not supposed to do, but hey, why not? I don't need to tell you about the diseases. I don't need to tell you about the protection. I don't need to tell you about the world. Here's what I'll tell you. It's not yours. I don't need to talk to kids about sexual abstinence when I can just say, thou shalt not steal. That belongs in a covenant relationship, according to the scripture, between one man and one woman. Don't take what's not yours. Okay? I realize that I just dumb trucked on all of you. I get it. Walk with me through this stuff for a week as I prepare to say it. And please understand, I get it. I've had to work through my garbage before I get to you. Alright? But we can do this. You know why? Because there is a God who loves us so much that has promised us that He will give us more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Who has promised us that there is a hope and a future for us laid out by Him. Who has said, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. The way to win is to grab hold of the hand of the sinner next to you. To grab hold of the hand of the indebted person next to you. To look both ways and say, we need each other. We need each other's money. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's doctors. And we need each other's contractors. And we need each other's mechanics. We need each other to go hand in hand in this life. So that the nacho man brings the nachos. And the tomato man brings the tomatoes. So we have salsa. And the kimchi people bring the kimchi. The Koreans bring the kimchi. And we need all of this. I got some kimchi. All right. We need all of the people to bring all of the... I don't know what short white people give. All right. But I'm going to keep on pouring it out. Now people get word. I'm going to give you word, baby. All right. And if you want to come, I'm going to do that too. Listen. We all need each other. We all fill the pot with what we have so that nobody's in want. And we do not get greedy. We do not take. I can't help you with the amount you're supposed to tithe. I can't help you with the limit you're supposed to set on your card. I can't help you with the bills you've already come to sustain. I can't help you start over. I can't help you understand. I can give from all that I have. And I will give from what the church has. But I am saying you have to be doers. You have to be givers. You have to be people of your word too. You have to try to wipe the slate clean and live within your means, not at your means. Or beyond your means. So that all of this begins to make sense. We prioritize God, others, and then ourselves. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. What's mine is yours, and I give it to you freely. Maybe we ought to do this. What's mine is yours, and I return it accordingly. Be it to his child, to his daughter, to his son. What's mine is his. This is how we combat the thievery, the heists. Give. Craig, what do we do about the greedy people?
Nothing.
It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Well, it's not fair. The word fair is not in the Bible. Just saying. My job is to look at the people who walk through these doors, to love them with all that I'm able, and I try. I'm not that good at it, but I'm trying. I am. To offer them the best resource of Scripture that I can, and to look them in the eyes and say the same thing that I say that you said to your children. I'm not worried about them. But they, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about you. It's my job. It's my call to you. So I'm looking you in the eye and I'm saying, do not steal. Give. Give.